Hello, fellow realists. I'm David Revell, and this is Value Side for Tuesday, May 17. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, it's energy that drives inflation in India and in Italy, and even in U.S. retail sales. That plus our market comment, one-fifth of American manufacturing plants are currently idle. All that coming right up. In global economic news overnight, we're seeing different countries headed in different directions in this economic teeter-totter, all based on the cost and availability of energy. For India and Italy, it's the cost of fuel that is the principal driver of their inflation. Italy on the positive side, as fuel costs in Italy for April fell by over 11%. This helped overall Italian inflation decline by half a point to an annualized inflation rate of just 6%. Well, halfway around the world, India saw fuel costs there continue to explode, gaining another 2% in April to an incredible 38% gain for energy in India this year. Is there any doubt now why India is reacting positively to securing Russian oil and gas as a supplier? India has no real choice. They need to bring those fuel costs under control. And with little help from the West, Russia becomes a very attractive source of reasonably priced fuel. Turning now to Europe, remember that heated debate over Brexit? It was claimed that Great Britain's economy would simply fall apart if they left the European Union. Well, there's an interesting development in Britain's labor market. It seems that there are simply not enough British workers to meet all the open positions. British unemployment rate reported last night was just 3.7%. While France also reported last night, but it had double the unemployment rate at 7.3%. Perhaps Brexit was the right thing to do after all. Also, some interesting short-term government debt auctions over the last couple of days. We forget that sovereign debt around the world is now priced very differently as you go from country to country. Both Germany and France have had short-term government auctions in the last couple of days. The German 12-month Bund-Bill priced to yield a negative 10 basis points, while the French 12-month BTF yield priced also negatively at 14 basis points. That's right, folks. Both auctions still priced with negative yields. Here in the U.S., on the other hand, yesterday's 6-month T-bill auction jumped by over 10 basis points to a positive 1.49% yield. Now, is there any doubt which way we're going to see international capital flows in the future? Take your pick. You can lose money in Europe or gain yield in the U.S. It's an interesting world right now. In just a few minutes, we'll get the latest in retail sales here in the U.S. Retail sales are expected to show a very tepid gain, driven almost entirely by those, you guessed it, high gas prices. Take away energy inflation, and there are more than a few analysts who are looking for a decline in retail sales here in the U.S. Now, in earnings so far this morning, very positive results from the retail sector, with number one retailer Walmart and number one home improvement store Home Depot both reporting positive results, and both stocks currently trading higher. From across the Pacific, China's number two retailer, JD.com, is up over 8% right now. Stay tuned now for today's market comment. Over one-fifth of American manufacturing plants are currently idle. We hear it all the time. Sorry, that item is out of stock. We see that everywhere we go. More and more, as I shop, I see this or that item no longer currently available. And many times, the store doesn't know just when it will come back. Shortages. They've become the watchword of modern America. We might want to purchase an item or a good, and yet more often than not, the store or online shopping site just can't get it. Economists glibly tell us that it's the supply chain, don't you know? Okay, I understand. That gives me some vague idea that the things I want are parked on a boat or in a plant over in China. But let's delve a little deeper here. Let's get to the heart of what is really happening. We begin with a little-noticed economic report, which will be released in just a few minutes. This morning at precisely 9:15 Eastern Time, the Federal Reserve will let us know that the manufacturing in this country is going down the drain. They won't put it that way exactly. But translated, that's what they'll be saying, as they've been saying that for the last 35 years. The Federal Reserve will report, once again, that less than 79% of our manufacturing plants are currently at work. That means, of course, that fully 21% of the plants are idle, not working at all, available, but not needed. And as I say, this is a trend, a very long-term trend. It's something that I cannot say enough. In a well-balanced, fully functional economy, production and consumption would be balanced, 50-50. The economy would produce just the amount that the consumers wanted to purchase. But the United States is nowhere near a well-balanced economy. We produce less than two-thirds of what our consumers want to purchase. That means that consumers must look elsewhere for more than a third of what they want to purchase. Hence those out-of-stock signs at the local merchandise store. For many of us, this is something that has just begun to appear in the last year or so. But I want to take you back to the year 1995. It was in that year, specifically, that China was introduced into the World Trade Organization, giving China preferred status as a full member nation of the WTO. Up until that point, China had limited access to the United States markets. And many up until that point did not want China to join the WTO, pointing to China's dismal record in terms of pollution and human rights violations. Those alone should have prevented China's acceptance into the WTO. President Bill Clinton, however, thought otherwise. Putting the full prestige and influence of his office on the line, Clinton proposed that China indeed should be, quote, "By joining the WTO, China is not simply agreeing to import more of our products, it is agreeing to import one of democracy's most cherished values, economic freedom." Well, of course, the reality has been that while China has imported some American products, America has been the one that has imported multiple times more Chinese products than they've ever sold to us. In 1995, when the U.S. Senate finally agreed to full trading status with China, our overall goods trade deficit was just $9 billion. Last year, that ballooned to $109 billion. Now, granted, the trade deficit includes all countries and not just China, but the trend for China has been just about the same. Since 1995, our idled manufacturing capacity in the U.S. has nearly doubled, until today, as we stated, over one-fifth of our plants are idle. As for those other concerns about China, human rights, environmental pollution, and as Clinton touted, economic freedom, none have seemed to improve over these last 35 years. But past diplomatic mistakes need not be the end of our story. Today we have those self-same manufacturing plants standing by, unused, ready to begin the production that American consumers are anxious to purchase. Within a half an hour drive from where I live, sit factories ready to be brought back to life, workers and modern equipment put into place. Remember, by and large, it was American capital and technology that built those Chinese factories. Why not do the same back here in the USA? And that's the value side for this Tuesday, May 17. For all of our podcasts and blog posts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.